What would have been a minor story, the killing of an illegal squirrel and raccoon, became a major story because of the way it was handled. Should we care? Welcome to The Conquering Truth. I'm Dan Horn.
I'm Roger Booten.
I'm Charles Churchill.
And I'm Joshua Horn.
So recently in upstate New York, there was a very strange story. The Department of Environmental Conservation, they ended up raiding a home. This man had this animal shelter. It was a 501(c). It was a nonprofit. And he had a squirrel and a raccoon. For the squirrel, he had an Instagram account that had something like 500,000 followers or more. And he would post videos of the squirrel like doing things and running on him and stuff. And they come to his house one morning and they bring 10 to 12 agents is what he said. They come with search warrants. They end up putting him out of the house. I think they put him in a car and they kept him there for 5 hours where they did a very intensive invasive search of the house to see if they found anything. They ended up taking the squirrel and the raccoon away and then they euthanized them. They said the reason they had to euthanize them is because the squirrel bit one of the officers and they had to kill the squirrel to figure out if the squirrel had given the man rabies or not. All of it is strange, the extent of it, the reach of it. So I find it very bizarre. So is there anything we should learn from this?
Well, I think so. Otherwise, we wouldn't have done an episode on it. We tend to not just do bizarre news story of the week, though maybe we should, but that's beside the point. But yeah, I think there are different things that we can learn from it. And it's kind of, there's a lot of different angles to come at this from. It's kind of like peeling an onion. You know, each level is a kind of a separate issue that is revealing things that are corrupt or confused in our culture that are against a biblical worldview from a lot of different angles, as we'll talk about.
And some of it's very strange because some things that you would think liberals would be up in arms about, they're not. Things that conservatives are fighting for, they don't typically fight for. So it's a story that creates like this weird, it's a weird response. And looking at why it's responding that way, that's important so that we can understand the society that we live in.
And the response was the part that really caught my eye. Is when you saw, I mean, you just saw so much uproar about it on social media that, you know, it was strange the way it happened, the way they came in. It was kind of really, kind of wielding authority, abusing authority potentially. But they put down
a
squirrel.
It seems excessive force.
Yeah. Right. But they put down a squirrel and a raccoon, and yet how many unborn children do we kill per day in this country? And there's not that much of an uproar.
Right, and especially, you know, it's the Republicans that are so upset about the squirrel dying. And the Republicans are the ones that have been compromising, saying, well, you know, Trump has backed down from being pro-life in any meaningful way. So, you know, but squirrels, we care about squirrels.
I mean, and it is bizarre, right? Because Trump has shifted his position, so he is now more pro-abortion than most of the countries in Europe. He says 15 weeks, they all say 12 weeks. So he is more radically liberal than most of the countries in Europe that are looking at us going, oh, you American religious wackos with your abortion policy. And yet then we turn around and the Republicans have really lost their minds to be that upset for the reasons that they're that upset about the squirrel. I think that there's reasons to be upset about the story, but not because the squirrel died. Squirrels are basically furry rats.
Well, I think part of the reason that the conservatives got are upset, and because there's so many angles here, is I think they're looking at the, you came in and you took this and you put them down because they're looking at a government agency assuming more authority than they should have.
And we just look, and I remember when I was living out in Los Angeles, and this was many years ago, 40 years ago. I was living in Los Angeles in like a week or 2 week period. There was somebody who was on the freeway and threw their dog out the window. And they got sentenced for 5 years for throwing their dog out the window. Somebody else beat their like 3 or 4 year old son to death and they got 3 months. This is how insane our society has gotten. And now it gets to the point where you have all this murder that's going on, all this blood that's being shed, all this innocent blood, and the Republicans are upset about a squirrel. Now, there is some right right things to be upset about. Their way of handling it was ridiculous and was a, you know, it was really an abuse of government power. But still, let's put it in perspective. It's just a squirrel.
A verse that bears on this is Proverbs 12, verse 10. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. And this I think you see play out very clearly, because the reason, from what I read, that they said that they needed to come in is they had all these complaints, and it's illegal to take in young wild animals, because they say that you then you raise them and you get them used to being around people, and then they're going to hang around people and they're going to get killed. Like, extreme example is like a bear. You don't want bears to learn that people are their friends, because then you have problems and you have bears bothering people and then you end up killing the bear. Now, squirrels are outside your front door if you have an oak tree, so I'm not sure why that applies to squirrels. But their point was, the law says you can't be raising these baby animals, these wild, you know, orphaned animals. You're supposed to just let them die, because their mother and father, squirrel mother and father, have died. Yeah, but so there are tender mercies to protect the squirrels, means that you can't keep these squirrels alive, and then we're going to do this big raid on your house, and we're going to end up killing your animals. That's how we're going to care for your animals, by killing them.
And I do think that there was a big shift in this squirrel, because a lot of people, I mean, we've had a squirrel in our house before, and squirrels in your house are terrible. They're incredibly damaging. They run around, they're fast, they go through everything. I mean, they just do a lot of destruction. I know of a number of people that have had a lot of house damages by squirrels. And so most people don't like squirrels that well. I certainly am not that favorable towards squirrels. But yet you look at this guy, and he trained the squirrel, and the squirrel's cute, and everybody's looking and saying, wow, look at that squirrel. How dare you kill something that's that cute? We don't look at human babies that way anymore. I mean, you do if you're handed one, but people don't just go, oh, look at that beautiful baby. And, you know, Psalm 139, 13 and 14, for you formed me in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. And we look at abortion and we accept that. I'm sorry, any baby is far cuter than the stupid squirrel.
And this is a problem that we can see in our culture in various times. Like, there's, a kid falls into the gorilla pit, and then they have to shoot the gorilla because the gorilla is going to kill the kid. And then people are saying, how could you kill the poor innocent gorilla? He didn't know what was wrong. You know, it's the parents' fault. Like, well, probably was the parents' fault, but the idea that you would not immediately kill the gorilla if it's risking the child is, you know, it shows how little we value human life, how little we understand that people are made in God's image, and just how broken we are.
And it's not just that we don't recognize the value of human life fundamentally. It goes even deeper than that, because I think one of the things that God's word does is the truth allows you to make distinctions. It allows you, because there's a part of it where that person who has the animal, you see when Nathan comes to David's house, he talks to him about, like, there was a man who raised a sheep, and he raised them in his house, and he raised them like he was his daughter. And you can see David is very upset by this thing. And the moral of the story isn't it was wrong, it would be wrong to raise a sheep in that way. It's saying that people can have a relationship with a specific animal, and they can care for it greatly. And at the same time, we should all care for humans more than we care for animals in general. And I mean, and all those things are true. And this is kind of what we're saying is the reason why our culture is just tossed to and fro is because we don't have the capacity to think about things in the right way. We've lost the ability to distinguish, because it's not wrong to care about an animal, but it would be wrong if you care about that animal and you can't care about people and you can't think about them in the way that God says they should be thought about.
And part of it is we have such luxury and such an easy life that we don't think about it. But put yourself, you have, like David and Nathan, you have the sheep, only it really exists instead of just being in a story. Right. And you're being besieged and people are starving. What do you do with that pet lamb? You kill it and you feed it to people.
Right.
That's what happens, guaranteed. They're going to eat everybody's dog. You'll eat everybody's cat. You'll eat rice. Rice.
Rice.
I couldn't decide if it was rats or mice.
That's Dan's hierarchy of things. You eat sheep. You eat cat. Dogs. You eat cats. And then finally, rice. You're going, fine, I will eat rice.
You know, you look at the Siege of Vicksburg and stuff where, I mean, they ate rats. They ate mice. They ate whatever they could find. And they're going to eat this pet lamb way before they get to that point. And even in the Passover, you were supposed to bring the Passover lamb into your house for 4 days before you slaughtered it so that you would build a relationship with it, and you still slaughtered it and ate it. I mean, this is the picture. This is what God says, because God says man's far more important than animals are.
The thing that really makes this stand out, too, is at the same time that you have people getting upset that the squirrel has died, and we've talked about abortion, but even where you see in certain states where the abortion laws allow that, where they've changed them, where if the child is born alive, where before they had to care for them, that they just leave them on a table to die.
And that's New York State is one of those states.
Yeah.
And the same state that's worried about protecting a squirrel. If they botch an abortion and the baby lives, they were unsuccessful, right? They did attempted murder instead of murder. Then they have the right to go ahead and murder them again. To murder that baby. I mean, that's New York State's law. This is insane that they're protecting squirrels, but they're not even protecting babies that are born alive.
You know, we started by saying this, talking about government overreach here, but we can also flip this around and say, even though this was a squirrel with hundreds of thousands of followers, and the reason that they kill it is to say, we need to test it for rabies. And the only way to actually get a, you know, chemical test or whatever it is for rabies is to like take the squirrel, the animal's brain. So you have to kill the animal to do the rabies test. And if it was a question of, does this person have rabies? And like, this is a matter of, there's a significant chance this person would die of rabies, then you just kill the popular squirrel because the person's life matters more than the squirrel. Absolutely. Now, according to what I read, no one has ever been recorded in America getting rabies from a squirrel. So that kind of calls in question whether you have to kill this squirrel. It's not a wild squirrel. It's a pet squirrel. It has been observed and is not foaming at the mouth. So, but if it was a matter of actually, legitimately, we need to see if we need to save this person's life, then the person's life has far more value than the popular squirrel.
Right. And that's sort of some of the confusion here is the Republicans are going, how dare you kill the squirrel? And it's like, but they should be going, it was to protect life. But on the other hand, you also know the government was really being deceitful, because the reality is he's been handling the squirrel for 7 years. It lives in his house for seven. He would know if the squirrel was rabid. I mean, it's just not possible for it to not go. So they're just going, but we have to do this anyway.
They created the situation that required them to kill the squirrel in the first place because of their overreach.
Right.
And so, I mean, it's this whole, I mean, and that kind of is what underscores part of the problem is because when you reduce the ability of people to make distinctions, then government force becomes something that they can exercise on an animal, on a person. It becomes, their use of force becomes immaterial. They don't think about the application of force to the situation. They just think there's a situation, so we must use whatever force we need to make our will be observed. And there's a real problem with that, because in the end, I mean, this is how you end up having like raids on someone's house. So they end up getting killed over something that's a minor offense, where you've had the history of this. I mean, like everything from Ruby Ridge to, I mean, you know, Waco, you've had, you have the recent guy, the guy who was the
director of the Bill and Hillary Clinton airport.
Right. Where, I mean, and so there's this part of it where you go, sure, this is a squirrel, but whenever you can see that the government doesn't make a distinction between human life with babies and other things like that. And so it's not weird to go? Where will they shift? So you see the squirrel and you go, I better speak about this, because if they don't, they've already said they can't tell the difference between things. So it's really relevant.
And it's really important, I mean, to remember as we talk about this, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God says you're allowed to kill animals. You have dominion over it. You're allowed to kill an ox if you want to. You're allowed to kill a squirrel if you want to. You're allowed to kill a raccoon if you want to. Now, that doesn't mean that man can't constrain it. Obviously, if you have a pet squirrel, I don't have the right to kill that pet squirrel.
Right.
But it does mean that inherent in it is the right, if man decides this is the right thing to do, it's not like killing a man. We do have dominion over them. We do have responsibility for them. Yes, we should regard the life of our beast. But it doesn't mean at the same time that you can't sacrifice it for a need that you have.
Right, because when you start, there's other laws, I don't know if we have them in this episode, but as you look at them, when it talks about if a person steals certain types of animals or kills a certain type of animal, there are different penalties for that. But none of them for killing an animal requires the person who did it to be killed. Whereas if you see a person kill a person, God's very clear that if a man kills another man, then his life will be required. And so, you know, God basically tells you the distinction between animals is almost always going to be some sort of monetary value. That's going to be the damages that are inflicted on you for killing an animal is monetary value. For killing and taking a human life, it's death.
And if a bull takes a human life, you have to kill the bull. That's right. What the law says, right? If man's blood is shed, the hand of the thing that shed the blood has to be killed. If it's a man, you kill the man. If it's a bull, you kill the bull. If it's a dog, you kill the dog. It doesn't matter. The man's blood has real value, and it is not to be shed indiscriminately. It should only be shed after deliberate punishment. But if it's shed for any other reason, whoever sheds it's supposed to be punished.
I've been to a county in Tennessee where a circus elephant killed a man, and they got a crane and they hung it. You know what I mean? And it's another sort of bizarre story in the sense of like how they did it, because they could have done it by alternate means, but they actually, you know, they put you can look it up online. The animal killed someone, and so they hung the animal. That was how they chose to do it. I mean, but so you can see how the law has been informed by this idea that even when an animal takes someone's life, there is an obligation to take the animal's life.
Right, there's no self-defense provision for animals.
Right.
But because a man's life has value, there is a self-defense provision.
Genesis 9:5-6 addresses that. Surely for your lifeblood, I will demand a reckoning from the hand of every beast. I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. And that's the reason, because man is made in the image of God, and the animals are not. And so there's a higher value to that because we're made in the image of God.
And this is something that we did an episode on quite a while ago. But the idea in our society, and even in this very situation where people want to tear down that distinction that makes people different than animals, and where they say that the guy who had this squirrel, his account was something along the lines of like Squirrel Dad. Like that's his, you know, Instagram account. And that idea that you are saying that you can't have, you're the dad of an animal. Well, it's just a word. What does it matter? Well, it's reflecting the idea that you don't need to have children. You can replace them with animals. You can assign them value. You can treat them like people. You can dress your dogs up in sweaters and put them in strollers and push them around the park. And that's not wacko. Because what that really is tearing down this biblical distinction and saying that you can treat animals like people and that's okay.
And yeah, there's a lot of, certainly in Hollywood and stuff, there's a movement where basically women, instead of having a baby, they get a small pet to carry around. And this is a really sick thing. And they're modeling that for the rest of society. So they're elevating the value of that animal. And in doing that, they're also devaluing human life. You know, it's really easy to say you shouldn't, you know, it makes sense. A squirrel could cause you to get sick, so therefore, let's pass this law. But we forget what it said in Genesis 1, which is you're supposed to have dominion over these animals. And God even gives us an idea what dominion looks like in Isaiah 11:6-9. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And the context of this is when somebody dies at 100 years old, they'll be considered dying like a child. And so this can't be in glorification. This can't be after death has been defeated. contextually, it just doesn't work. So our taking dominion is supposed to reach this point. And they're saying you can't bring a squirrel into your house. And God is saying you're supposed to teach the wolves to lie down with lambs.
So him training the squirrel to run around and go around this pocket and all these different things that he did is a reflection of that.
He was taking dominion of the squirrel. And he did. I mean, I think the guy's kind of creepy, but not his training the squirrel. The squirrel was pretty cool. The little bit that I watched it, it's a very talented squirrel.
Did it overcome your hatred of squirrels?
No. Well, I mean, I don't hate squirrels if they're in somebody else's house.
But this is the issue with a lot of these laws is what certain people, environmentalists, are pushing for is everything needs to stay as it was, uncorrupted by man. That nature is good and holy, and whenever man puts his hand on it, he makes it worse. So if you train the squirrel to ride around in your pocket, you have ruined that squirrel, and in the end, a lot of people would say it's better to kill the squirrel than to let that squirrel be trained. And so there you have, you know, and we've talked about environmentalism.
As they watch the videos and like the videos too, it's people are so confused.
Yeah, but we've talked about environmentalism before, and it's somewhat a mixed bag. But a very core thing is rejection of the dominion mandate and saying we don't need to take dominion of the world. If we do that, we ruin the world.
Well, I think what they're doing there is they're worshiping the creature rather than the creator. They're saying, like you said, nature is perfect, and when man gets involved, we mess it up.
Yeah, God says, man, take charge, and those who worship the creature go, no, the creature is perfect already.
And there's this real inconsistency in even the distinctions that they're making, because there's this part of it where man should be part of nature. If there is no God, then man should just be like another animal. So how can man be problematic with being involved with, you know, doing what the man-animal does? Then on the other, but in the end, they have to rebel against God because they don't want to retain their knowledge of God. So they have to fight against that. So to do that, they have to come to these really weird, twisted positions that don't make sense. You know what I mean? They don't actually think about how animals should actually be treated. And then they turn man into something where killing man becomes an economic thing, as opposed to, you know, where we're going to take this amount of your life. You have to spend, like you said, the guy beats a child to death and you're going to spend 3 months. That's going to be your penalty, which is effectively just an economic penalty for taking the life of a man. And so, and then somebody kills an animal and they're like, well, they should be killed. And this, I mean, this is how people think. You see people react in this way. Anybody who would harm an animal should just be, they should be murdered. And
part of it, to be fair, is that people recognize total depravity. So they look at it and they go, of course, men desire to be, or deserve to be killed. And then they look at the animal and they go, there's no depravity there, so they don't deserve to be killed. But all this is still just confusion because right. Man still has a value that's infinitely greater than any animal.
And like, I mean, along these same lines of what you're saying is, I mean, to go back to the beginning, the verse says the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel, and people think they're going to be out there preserving the animals. Then you look at PETA, which is supposed to be for the ethical treatment of animals, and I think they're the number one animal euthanizer. They're the ones who are killing the animals.
Well, even here, it was the Department of Environmental Conservation. Well, they didn't conserve the environment. They killed the squirrel and they killed the raccoon. I mean, they're supposed to be, and most of those agencies started to actually conserve animal life, and now they're killing animals.
They couldn't even take possession of an animal without the animal biting someone.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which is kind of like you would think that would be very central to their to what they do, right?
Right.
Maybe they're too busy playing with it.
You know what or I mean? To be honest, I heard the story and my first thought is they're lying about why they killed the animals. So that it might be that they actually bit them, but I'm fairly skeptical.
Sure.
Because these are the same group of people. I mean, the New York State government that murdered all the people in the nursing homes during the COVID. I mean, it you shouldn't look for a high level of honesty from them. That's not the historical position of the New York State government.
Then another interesting animal story that is somewhat related, but I'm never going to find another podcast to bring it up in. But I saw this a few weeks ago. There was a guy who was arrested, and I think he was sentenced to time in prison. He was like 80. He was a farmer in Montana. And what he got arrested for was importing these rare, like Peruvian sheep to breed them with these endangered mountain sheep in Montana, cause, and he said his goal was to create a super sheep, to create the best sheep that he could. And so he
the government was naturally threatened by that.
So he was arrested, and he's like, I lost sight of the law. I was just so focused on getting the best sheep possible.
That's understandable.
Now in Area 51, there's super sheep down there, doing
there would be,
amazing
things. There would be, but no, this guy was stopped.
But the problem is the government now looks at you, at someone who's, and I mean, maybe there's more nuance to it, but they look, but you have this, the thing where government looks at people trying to take them in to make things better, to make there be more animals, and they say, no, that's bad. You're perverting the animals. They're not going to be wild and pure anymore. Stop it. We're going to throw you in prison for doing this.
And none of the animals that we see look anything like they did, 500 years ago. I mean, we've been intentionally breeding for a long time and trying to get, I mean, that's why there's so many breeds of dogs. I mean, every breed of dog has a different purpose, and they were bred for that purpose. And we didn't go, oh, that's horrible. We actually look at it and go, there's real reasons. That's a great thing, right? And now we turn around and we say that's evil to do the same thing. I mean, we've just got to understand that as a society, we've hit a point of stagnation where we're going, we don't want any advancement.
Or that we believe we have to preserve breeds of dogs that no longer have a certain purpose. If somebody wants to, that's fine, but not for just the purpose of preserving a particular, you know what I mean? It's not in and of itself. It doesn't have just this fundamental value, because in the end, the reason it was bred that way was they needed something that could hunt a particular type of vermin. They needed something that could, I mean, there were all these different, like you said, actual uses for animals, because man saw animals as useful, and so they took dominion.
And I mean, not to tie this to dispensationalism, but that always helps for an episode, but but in dispensationalism, you're saying things are going to get worse and worse, in which case you should preserve the old things. Because if things have been decaying, why would you plant a tomato that's been developed in the last, 5 years? Why don't you plant these heritage tomatoes that are 100 years old? Well, I'll tell you what, they're not nearly as good. That's why you don't plant them. But it's really easy to look at them and go, if that's your worldview, is things that are getting worse, why wouldn't the one from 100 years ago be better? Why wouldn't that dog that was bred to do X, Y, and Z that isn't needed anymore, why wouldn't that be better? You just lose focus on the fact that these things are getting better. And so there's a reason to do the new things, but we have rejected the new things as being better than the old things, except in the case of technology.
Oh, but even there, if there is in the dispensational camp, there is often a very strong fear of technology. And, I think they can't necessarily completely abandon it. But I grew up with a very strong fear of it.
And it works, right? AI. There's a bunch of people out there going, hey, AI is going to take over the world. And the dispensationalists go, of course, now we finally figured out how.
Right.
What's going to
you see
create the new
going, AI may not even, be that useful at all.
Right.
And we've pumped a ton of money into it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the stock market will reflect that at some point. What I find interesting is all these people are going, how dare they kill this squirrel? Look what this guy did with this squirrel. But it is also useful to see what else he was doing with the squirrel. He was using the squirrel as a means to get a list of followers. So as the squirrel daddy or squirrel dad or whatever it was called, he could get an OnlyFans account that is mostly viewed by homosexuals. And he does profane things, pornographic things on there, in order to make money.
So he was ostensibly not a homosexual himself,
according to him. He has a girlfriend. And I mean,
a real one.
But then you have this thing that's seemed on the surface so wholesome. This guy has trained the squirrel, which that in and of itself is all well and good, but that's not all that it was.
Right. And if you watch the videos, it's pretty obvious. The squirrel's interesting and the rest of it is, I would recommend avoiding it.
He probably had an affection, to be fair. He probably had an affection for the
squirrel.
He spent
a lot of time training the squirrel. I don't doubt that.
But he also lost a source of driving revenue to his, for his business, I guess. I don't know what you'd call it, but.
And I think he makes quite a bit of money, because I think he does take care of these other animals, and he, I think, generates the money off of his OnlyFans account so that he, And he's a little weird too.
No kidding.
He was saying they held me for 5 hours, so I couldn't feed my horses breakfast or lunch. I'm like, you don't feed horses breakfast and lunch. What's he talking about?
He does.
Yeah, he probably does. I actually think he probably does, but I'm sorry, you don't feed horses that way. I mean, it's just not how you treat horses.
But he probably does.
But he probably does, and he's probably thinking, well, I want 3 meals a day, so obviously my horse wants 3 meals a day. Well, horses kind of typically graze, and maybe you give them grain once a day, but to give them grain 3 times a day really isn't very healthy for them. And to restrict their grazing the rest of the time, that's not healthy for them either. So, but he's treating them as if they're humanized. In that, so he isn't some hero that we should be looking towards.
And at the same time, it's his right to feed his animals that way if he wants to. And I mean, and this is part of the issue is there's
except the government supporting it because it's a 501c3, which makes it even more complicated, right?
Right.
I mean, it's he's using the government to say to take care of these animals, and then the government comes in and kills these animals, and because he's treating them like they're human, but they're not. And so you just see in this, you see a reflection of how confused our society is.
But if you let your kids train squirrels, don't post on Instagram because the government might come kill them. That's one takeaway. Anyone who is, you know, feeding a squirrel.
Or you could take the other approach, which is train a squirrel, get an Instagram account without the pornographic lead in, and use it for 7 years and make a lot of money, and then they kill the squirrel. But at least you use the squirrel for a good purpose to make a lot of money, and you made a lot of people laugh at the cute squirrel.
And then you get Trump elected, because that's what they were saying, is that, you know, the squirrel's going to lead Trump to victory.
I don't even understand how that worked.
That's why they killed him.
If you post enough memes, it must be true.
Raise up a squirrel in the way he should go.
when he's old, he'll be killed, but until then, he'll make money for you. But as you look at this mix of stuff that's in there, then somehow we've taken that and we've created this thing that's like the Republicans against the Democrats from it. And it's just bizarre to me, but we've become such a divided country that so many people are not going, what's the right thing to do here? On both sides of the aisle, they're not going, what's the right thing to do? They're going, well, what's the other side doing? Because I want to do the right opposite. And we're just taking positions for the sake of taking positions. And we're dividing over these things that there's a lot more complicated. Really, you want to, so how many Republicans want to go out there and support a man because he's using a squirrel to get people to watch him scantily clothed?
Unfortunately, a lot.
A lot of Republicans? I don't know that a lot of Republicans would say that. A lot of Republican leadership would say that.
I mean, and that's kind of, I should amend something I said earlier. I said when you that truth enables you to make distinction. The answer is you're going to make distinctions no matter what. Truth allows you to make the proper distinctions.
Right, because you can make very confused distinctions.
And that's really where it is we're making distinctions. You're either driven to make distinctions by your sin, by other people's sins, by all those different things, or the Word of God holds you in place and you can make distinctions according to what it says. And so you can see when Scripture talks about people being double-minded and being tossed to and fro, you see these things. This is what it looks like. This is an example of it where people are unable to hold a certain position because to do so, they just don't even have the capacity. They don't have the way to, they can't think that way. They're framed by their political ideology. They're framed by the sins of the world or the sins that they want to preserve. And that is the result. That's what the world and what sin does to man.
If you have the same thing happen in Texas, which is just hard to imagine, but let's say the same thing happened in Texas, then the Democrats would be saying how evil it was, and the Republicans were saying, oh, that was good, because we're picking sides not based on the actions. We're picking sides based on who was doing it. So if you go back to right after the Roman Empire split into the West and the Eastern Empire, that becomes the Byzantine Empire. And when the Byzantine Empire finally falls with the fall of Constantinople, by the time it gets there, everybody is no longer looking at political positions. What they've done is they've identified their parties by color. And it starts out that there's 4 different colors and then 2 of those lose. But you get down to 2 and then finally the city falls because nobody's trying to have unity. Nobody's trying to reason. Nobody's trying to consider political positions even or what should be the right thing for the state to do. It's my people say this and I'm blue, so I'm going to go along. These people say that and they're green, so they're going to, I'm going to go along with that. And the divisions become this blind loyalty. And that's incredibly dangerous to a society. And I think with the squirrel, you see that. You see this blind loyalty that there's all kinds of reasons why Republicans wouldn't support him, but they support him because, you know, it's a Democratic state that did it, so the Reds must be right and the Blues must be wrong. And it's not a whole lot of reason. It's not a whole lot of thought. And when people reach a point of that level of blindness to justice, God does judge nations.
And a couple of things about that. You know, I was speaking to somebody who's in the state legislature in Massachusetts a week or two ago, and he was talking about a family in his district had a child in a school, and long story short, the child kind of got manipulated at school and said he was a different gender. And the school basically changed it at the school and hid it from the parents for months until they found out from mutual people. There wasn't an uproar in Massachusetts about that. So there's the one, like you're saying, it's the, you know, the Blues or the Reds. And then the other factor about this is, you know, you have an issue with a human life and you don't get much reaction to it. But it's a cute squirrel and it's fun to watch. And like Evie, you even said, you know, it's kind of pretty neat what he did with the squirrel. Right. And so it's a popular thing to jump onto. It's an easier story as opposed to where here's this child that was manipulated.
And a great squirrel hater like me saying that even means more, right?
That's right. But you know, people, it's just how much of the, how attractive is the story versus what's more important?
Right.
I mean, I think one of the things that people often forget about human nature, and children often remind you of it, because, you know, as your children grow up, at some point they go through a stage where they discover lying. And different children have.
But like when they start to speak.
They
use sign language to lie.
And what I mean is like where they really discovered in the sense of, I mean, because they all lie at different stages, but there are points where you see them really go, aha, lying is this secret tool that controls the universe. You know what I mean?
And, well, I think they learn how to lie in such a way that they actually have success. That's right. They've lied before that, right. But then all of a sudden it works sometime and they go, wow.
Right. And so when that happens, and with the more children you have, you see them, there are different stages of how much they think they can get away with, or how, you know, how foolish they are in a sense. But there's this part of it where the way the brain works is, when you think about what we think of as reasoning, often is when somebody says something and you want something, your brain's job is to supply you with ways to get what you want, is what your brain frequently does. And what truth does is, truth often, if you have an allegiance to truth, is you go, I can't violate truth. That truth right. becomes something that you want. And if you want the truth, you won't violate truth. But if you don't want truth, your brain just goes, here's what I should say. This will get me where I want to go. And when you think about that, that's how you can get down to these political positions. Because your point isn't, I'm not thinking through anything except for how do I beat so-and-so.
The ends justify the means.
Right. And so your brain becomes this tool that just all you use it for is to survive in different scenarios. How do I win against this enemy? And the truth isn't involved at all.
And it's really important to recognize what's going on, right? Because you're using truth, and I agree with truth, but the heart of this is an issue of justice.
And which righteousness, justice, truth.
Right, they all can. That's what I'm saying. Right, that,
yes.
And so, but the issue is that as a society, we have rejected the idea that there should be justice, right? That's why you murder a child and you go, not a big deal. You murder a squirrel, oh, how terrible, right? Because we don't have any sense of justice. But we need to recognize where that starts, right? Who knows how to do justly? I mean, Christians are supposed to have justice in the forefront of what they do. And so when the country's stumbling around, I mean, we're 40 minutes in and we haven't blamed the church for anything yet. So it's time to, you know, when the society has no sense of justice, we need to recognize where the guilt lies. Because the priests, the the people that God has given his word to, given his revelation to, they're the ones that have the responsibility to teach what true justice is. And when the society's stumbling in the dark, it means the church is failing to do it. But the church has forgotten it inside, so it can't express it outside. And so the church or the society just stumbles in the dark.
Because one of the things, and I think we've talked about this in a number of episodes when we've talked about abortion and when we've talked about the church, is one of the reasons why people want to defend the squirrel is because that's something they feel like they can do. When you look at, when you stand outside in front of the abortion clinic and people drive by and they're so angry and you look at the issues that are involved, to stop abortion, I mean, in one sense, you can just say, we're going to outlaw abortion, and you can do that. But to solve the problems that caused it is messy.
Right.
Because you have to deal with rape, incest. You have to deal with fathers caring about their children. You have to deal with birth control. You have to deal with people where they want to, that mothers want to care for their children and they want to have a family and they want to be in a home and they want to do. Solving those problems is really complicated. And all of them have become so, you know, you have to deal with pornography. You have to deal with, I mean, and that's our dealing with, you have to unpack our horrible understanding of freedom of speech. You know what I mean? Like,
well, you have to unpack the whole individuality, because that's the root of it too, is that everybody should get to fulfill their own lust. Everyone should be able to do what's right in their own mind is the biblical term for it. Until you unpack that, how do you deal with abortion, which I think is right. Your point.
And so people, when they see it, they go, there is no justice. There can be no justice over here. But somebody did something wrong and I might be able to get people to get mad at the guy who hurt the squirrel. And sometimes that's literally what's going on is, There's the church has made one of the church's jobs in the Old Testament. It talked about when you have a problem and it's too hard to figure out what to do, you go to the priest. The priest will deal with these difficult cases. And we've talked about this over and over, is that the church's job has been to explain the world. The church has failed miserably. And so there's just this real, I mean, we really need to lay this at the feet of the church.
And you just look at a situation like Peter, right? People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, that they go and they talk about it and they do everything. You know what they've done about the squirrel? They haven't said a single word about the squirrel. This should be what they're driving fundraising off of. This is like their thing that they've been driving for, but they don't want to hurt their constituency, which is the Democrats. And so therefore, you wouldn't say anything against the New York state government because that would be wrong. And so they act like they have this position, but the position is totally fake. But often the church is the same way, that it holds this position, but it's totally fake. We talked about government overreach a little bit before, and it's worth putting it in perspective. You have 10 to 12, you know, employees of New York that have the right to use force to come in and search for these squirrels. And at the same time, I mean, crime's up like 25%, 26% over the last 2 years in New York State. I mean, it's just skyrocketing in crime. And this is according to the New York State statistics, right? And there's no question it's skyrocketing. And yet they want to send 10 people or 12 people to chase after a squirrel. I mean, what are our priorities? How can people look at this and say, this is sound government?
I wonder if they fall into the same category as people with abortion. It's, hey, this is something we can do something about, and nobody's going to get killed. You know what I mean? You know,
they might get rabies.
But you know, I mean, it's interesting. Hey, well, if you're the government, I mean, it's actually, I think that's a legitimate question, is how much of it is sometimes just the government's, there are problems that are almost intractable.
And well, this is like climate change. Those people, their salaries may have been paid by climate change money.
Right.
We have this problem. For the purpose of this discussion, say it's real. There's this huge real problem. And what are they going to do? Give money to departments to do whatever they can come up with. Because look how much money we're spending in climate change. Now we have, you know, 50 people who are going to fix the wildlife problems.
So, no, my guess is it's not climate change, not. I think your point's right, but I think it's the endangered species, because this was probably established with endangered species. And so now the people that were established for endangered species, now they're going out and killing squirrels. I mean, and they don't want to cut their budget, because then people will go, oh, look, people don't care about the endangered species anymore.
It's like the and CDC so they just keep, came out of the malaria. I mean,
right,
I
and
mean,
they just keep coming and keep staying on and on and on because nobody in government is ever willing to kill anything.
And that's squirrels.
Never. Sorry. Nobody in government is ever willing to kill a government program. They're willing to kill squirrels. They're willing to kill babies. They're willing to kill all kinds of things, but a government program, never.
And that's the part where I think conservatives have a legitimate beef against it. You know, when you, if you look at the backdrop of the last 4 or 5 years, if you look at what happened in the state of New York during COVID and the mistreatment of people and then and the money that they spent on things that just nothing, you know, they brought a ship in, they
and then they're sending the elderly back into nursing homes and killing the elderly. I mean, it was just horrible what they did in New York.
And so there's that part of it that's saying, hey, you're not not only overreaching, but you're totally misusing the resources at your disposal. And so that part seems to me a legitimate outrage, but then the whole rest of the wacky story.
And it does seem like the, including with the COVID stuff, bringing the ship in, they didn't bring the ship in because they needed the hospital beds. They brought the ship in because it was a show about how terrible it was going to be. So they put two people on this ship, this hospital ship that they put out in the harbor. And there was, it didn't need it, but they were more concerned about the PR than they were about the reality. And I think that's probably what happened here. Now there's rumors. I think he's saying that it was caused by his competitors that were trying to OnlyFans competitors or something. You said you read that, but regardless, the reality is that the government wasn't going, this is what justice is. This is what the right thing to do is. They were just being manipulated by the social media because they're much more concerned about their PR than they are about justice.
And Deuteronomy 1:17. Talks about partiality. You shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid in any man's presence, for the judgment is God's. The case that is too hard for you, bring it to me, and I will hear it. And I mean, what you were describing there is what we see all over the place with government agencies is showing partiality.
And they're afraid. They're afraid somebody's going to post something to say they're letting a rabid squirrel out and they're not doing anything about it. And I mean, they see these posts and they respond to social media. Isn't that ridiculous that the government would be responding to social media? But the reason they are is because what they're trying to do is win voters, and the voters are foolish enough to think that they hear somebody post something on social media and that means it has relevance, because we've become a very illogical society that can't think through things.
And they, for political reasons, you know, this says not to show partiality to both, you know, the small and the great.
Right.
And you see that in both ways, where you see certain politicians, oh, this person has a lot of money, so we're going to go after them because they have money. But if there, then there's these other group of people that have lots of money and maybe lots more money, but their views agree with them, so they never go after them. And then at the same time where they abuse the poor and they take advantage of them. And so they're showing partiality in both ways.
Right. And you know, you just look at so many of the programs. They do those programs to win votes, even though those programs, you know, hey, let's give needles and drugs to the poor drug addicts. I mean, this is just so unjust, so unmerciful, so hate-filled. But yet they'll do it and they'll say that this is being kind and this is being merciful. And these things blatantly aren't. But they're trying, you know, the American population runs after ideas without any thought. And so they want to put these ideas, and not just America, this is Europe, this is other places in the world. I don't mean to make it just America, but where the church hasn't taught people how to think. People used to be able to think better.
And you have the people's knee-jerk reaction when they see something they don't like is, this should be illegal. And then you take that and combine that with the influence of, you know, business and activists on the politicians, and you end up with this burgeoning code of laws, burgeoning government departments to enforce these laws. You have things that are illegal that shouldn't never be illegal, and you have these strict codes that for some things are impossible to follow. And then you assume, oh, well, the government agencies that we put in charge of enforcing these laws, they're going to be reasonable. They're going to sort out the people that are actually, you know, doing bad stuff versus the people who are technically violating the law but actually are no big deal. Well, it doesn't work out that way, because when you give the government a budget to enforce the law and you make ridiculous laws, then they end up enforcing ridiculous laws and hurting people and stopping things that there's some good in them if they're not actually good things.
Right. And one thing that was supposed to stop that was our jury system. Yeah, you know, because jury nullification is core to our judicial system, because the jury has to be able to go, no, he didn't have the government. Yeah, maybe the technically the law says that you couldn't have that squirrel, but it's been a pet squirrel for 7 years. He's using it to make money. This is a valid taking dominion. So who cares about the law? He's innocent or he's not guilty. That's what juries should be allowed to do. And that's supposed to be the big check. But now when they, you know, pass a case off to the jury, they tell you you're not allowed to nullify. They usually don't mention it, but if when they're asking if you're a jury, if you say I believe in jury nullification, you're guaranteed not to be on the jury, because they want to go, no, you're the government sets the law and nobody can say this is unjust. But the whole jury system is to say this is unjust.
Right. It's like the God is the Lord of the conscience. Right. This aspect of it. And the state is going, no, we're the Lord of the conscience. We can tell you what you must think. And the answer is the jury at times goes, this is wrong. This is immoral. And the jury should be able to actually deal with that immorality.
Like, you look at the laws that they're enforcing and the laws they're not. They're enforcing this thing about the pet squirrel. And yet they won't charge people shoplifting. They just have everything out of order, the government. Hosea 4:1-3 says, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore, the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away. One of the things from this peanut the squirrel thing is people should be going, why are you going after a squirrel when you have people murdering in your streets? You have theft that you go, oh, if it's less than $750, why do anything about it? I don't think it's that high in New York, but it's that high in California. You have all these things where the things that God says, I destroy nations, I judge nations and destroy them for these things. Those you let go. But you worry about a pet squirrel? It's a shame on the church. It's a shame on the reasoning of the people. It's a shame on the government. And these are things that God actually takes seriously.
Not the squirrels.
No, like theft, like theft and murder and adultery and stealing. And, you know, how long has it been since this country had laws against adultery? It's been a long time. Instead, we have laws about a squirrel. We've just lost the basic reality of how you make a society, how you grow a society, how you mature a people, how you have a successful society. We've lost the basic things. Because one of them is you actually have penalties for adultery.
And at the beginning of that list, you know, swearing and lying, you know, we're right in the middle of the political season. How many speeches do you see where politicians are now just cursing in the middle of their speech? Or certainly lying. I mean, you watch and they'll just, you just see some clips and you just say,
and so much of it's, yeah,
it's not even a spin. It's just a bald-faced lie.
And Republicans will watch Harris and go, she just keeps lying. She keeps lying. And Democrats watch Trump and they go, he keeps lying. And the reality is they both lie all the time. And nobody goes, I can't vote for them. It's clear that they don't have any fear of God, because God says, if you lie, it's because you've forgotten that I am. And yet we keep voting for these people over and over and over again. And then we go, oh, why is our country so bad? Well, God says he judges countries for doing this.
I mean, you look at that list, every single one except for openly. I mean, we've talked about how all presidents do some form of killing, but swearing, lying, stealing, committing adultery, these are all things that our elected leaders do. These are all things that they do that we go they're expected now. So there's this part of it where we shouldn't be surprised when they start killing openly. I mean, you know what I mean? And like I said, there's certain contexts in which they already do, which is how you move towards being able to do things, is you do it in a context where you go, well, I mean, I didn't have the authority to do that, but this person was an evil person, and so obviously I needed to do that. And you go, right. Well, that's true. We accept
tough
that.
Situations make bad laws, right? That's exactly what they do.
And so, I mean, and you look at the verse, that right line after it, they break all restraint. And so everything that is standing between them and evil, they move it out of the way. They push it out of the way. And so instead of dealing with evil, the laws begin to be restraints against doing things that aren't evil, that aren't fundamentally evil. And
you mean like training a squirrel?
Training a squirrel.
God warns us that this will happen too. When he goes back and Israel is saying they want a king. They don't want God as a king. They want a king. God says, Samuel, here, go tell the people this. You're just going to multiply. They're going to multiply men servants. They're going to have them for bakers. They're going to have them for all these things. They're going to have chariots. They're going, and that's exactly why you get to the point where you have 10 people from the Department of Environmental Conservation going and breaking into this guy's house. I mean, yeah, they went to a judge. It took 4 sign-offs. So in addition to those people, there were 10 superiors of them that had to sign off of this. Then they had to take it to a judge and get approval of a judge before they could get the search warrant to actually go in and search this. Look at how many resources that they used. And the reason they have all these resources is because they just want to keep multiplying people to themselves. This is what you get if you have people that don't want to answer to God. Instead, they want to answer to men. This is exactly what you get. And we see it in, you know, you see it in such blatant disregard of reality here, of anything that's important. To kill a squirrel, really? I guess more technically, they were just saying they came to capture the squirrel. So they did all this just to remove a squirrel and what, let him go in the zoo or something?
You reference like when God talks to Israel and says, you're going to want a king to rule over you instead of me. What he really is wanting to rule over them is his word and his law. I mean, he is ruling over them, but he's saying there were many different leaders that they had. There were leaders that were actually appointed. It wasn't like they were this, you know, this, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, anarchist commune that was, right, you know, some kind of somehow managing itself. It was, no, Israel had many different forms of representational government. But what God was saying is my words, that's what you should observe. And you can see like in Leviticus 18, 4 through 5, you shall observe my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. And there's this part of it where it's not just the wording of his ordinances, it's the judgments that the application of them that you have to observe and how they're applied to a specific situation, how God applies them in certain situations where you see him, he makes judgments in the world and where to observe them. I mean, just like children are supposed to look at decisions their parents have made. I mean, anybody who's had children, there are stages where you go through where you just start creating rules. Because, and if you don't watch it, you'll end up, you know, there'll be times where there'll be so many rules because you've drifted away from this. You haven't been teaching your children how to think. You haven't been actually ordering the house in a certain way. And there's times where it just spirals out of control. And the house can become absolutely chaotic because of this. And there's this part of it where sometimes you need to step back and go, okay, we're going to strip a lot of this away. We're going to start creating some rules and we're going to start creating it. But what I want you to do is I want you to understand how I want to think about these things. And that's what God says to his people is, my words are for you so you can think about the world, so you can think about problems, so you can actually make decisions not be driven and tossed to and fro by all the sin around you.
Yeah, when he says you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, that judgment is basically saying that you will keep and give the same verdicts in different situations than the exact ones that apply to the law. And so we're supposed to take the law and say, okay, so based on the things that we know about how God judges, in this case, it doesn't perfectly match all, any of the other ones. This is how we're supposed to judge in this case. That's God's judgment. And he's saying, you don't just keep the letter of the law, you have to keep how it should be judged. And so you look at a situation like this and you go, okay, so they pass a law because, say, for instance, and I know that people did this in California and stuff, and I'm guessing it probably also happened in New York because it had the same kind of wealth where you reach the point where you just don't know what to do with all your money, is that people would get like wild animals and they'd have wild animals in their house. And then those wild animals would go kill people. And that there's a good chance that's where these laws came from, is something like that. Is people had dangerous animals and they go, well, it's too hard to list every single possible animal. And so they pass a law saying you can't keep wild animals in your home, expecting people to be reasonable and to have actually think through what does that mean. And they probably didn't even pass the law for squirrels, right? They almost certainly didn't pass the law for squirrels, especially not pet trained squirrels. instead, what they're doing is, you can't do this. You have to get a license to do this because we are trying to preserve life. But then they take it and they just, it no longer, they're not saying, how are we supposed to actually think about these things? We're just supposed to blindly follow. And we've created a government that's so big, it just always wants to blindly follow. And that's incredibly dangerous, especially when you have, what, 20,000 pages to the Federal Register like every week or something, or every month. I mean, it's just the amount of new laws and regulations that are constantly passed. And all of these have secondary effects that are not to address the issue that they pass them for, but yet they pass them because there can be no judgment. We must find a law. We must apply that law. We must apply that law rigorously without any justice. And that's not how law should be used. And so our whole law system has just gotten so perverted and twisted. And this is just a picture of that. I'm sure that law wasn't passed to kill Peanut.
Well, and this, you use the term judgment. You know, this comes back to the church. You know, we were talking about this at church in the past 2 to 4 weeks. You know, like you were saying, that term judgment. You know, what I took away from that as we talked about it is we need to learn to think about things the way God thinks about things. And so when the church is not thinking through things the way God thinks through them and can come to a public forum and say, well, this is unjust because of this and this, and can reason through it and explain why and show God's wisdom in it, well, then the culture is not going to do that either. And so they'll just, you know, we just go, right. Oh, well, it's this verse and, you know, this is bad and this is good, not really any thought behind it. So that's what the culture does.
Right. The Department of Environmental Conservation basically did what the church does all the time. The church proof texts and says, this has to be true because this verse says this. And they go, it must be illegal to have a squirrel in your house because that's what this you know, statute in the law says. Instead of going, what was actually meant by it? What was it trying to prevent? Are you actually trying to do justice? Are you just trying to make things up?
There was a thread in Reddit the other day about a North Carolina had an amendment adjusting the language about voting, and the language in the Constitution, even in both the original and in the new one, mentioned about that you must be 18 years of age. And the comments of so many of the people in there were going, well, the way it's written, it means that you have to be exactly 18 years old to vote, that you can only vote if you are 18 years of age. This is like the debate that was going on. And just in it, as you were talking, that's what it reminded me of. I was just reading comment after comment. They're so stupid that they, and then people are going, they're not editing that part. That part's actually not being modified. That's not being changed at all. So they're like, so it's always been that true. Huh, our law is so stupid. Our Constitution is so stupid. And people are going, no, this is like a common way of referring to things that if you're 40,
you are 18.
That, you know, it's not, you know, and like,
you're more than 18 years of age.
Right.
And, you must be 4 foot high to ride them. Right.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. The only people who are exactly this tall can ride the ride and no one else. And it's just, I mean, it's like that. It's like the sort right. of nuttiness that you, and like I said, it's scripture. There's a part of it where you can both have, you can have this idea that the law has to explain every single detail. And that doesn't work. And there are people who try to make God's law work that way. But when you look at like case law, it's trying to frame things so you can understand it. It's trying to frame it so you can think about it. It's highlighting the
God
details.
Wants to teach us his judgment so that we can judge new situations as he would judge them.
And when you see Paul talk about, I mean, and you see how complex it is when Paul talks about paying pastors because of laws about animals. So, I mean, you even see where God gives these laws about animals in the Old Testament, and they were still about animals. It wasn't like
right. God, they
Paul
still
wasn't
applied.
Going, God didn't mean animals. He did mean animals, but from that law, you can understand and apply it to people. And so we're just so far away from that concept.
And I've been in so many churches where I've heard people speaking, and the churches do it that way. They take it and they go, well, this is what it means. And it's like, well, read the parallel passages where the words are slightly different. It can't mean that. Just read the rest of it.
Right.
I was even having this debate just a couple weeks ago with somebody, and it's like, read all the verses on the Sabbath, not just that one, and you'll find out that one, it's untenable to hold it the way you're holding it. But yet people do that all the time. They go, well, this is what the judgment has to be, instead of going, no, actually, what was the purpose? What were they trying to say? What were they trying to accomplish by doing it? I don't think they were trying to kill Peanut. I kept a straight face.
Peanut would still be alive today.
Well, I mean, I think the other angle we haven't talked about is that if George Washington Carver was still alive today, this would open a whole new world of possibilities for him.
No one said it. So did they kill the raccoon too?
Yes, they did.
Okay. But what was their reason for that one? He kept getting the squirrel worked up.
He knew.
They didn't even explain that. They said only the squirrel bit them, but yet they killed the raccoon anyway.
He was an accessory.
Once we start killing animals, it's
just stop.
It's, yes.
And well, the reason we talked about Peanut the squirrel tonight.
Please don't say that.
The reason we talked about the squirrel story is not because it's that significant of a story, but from it, we can see many problems in our culture. And we should recognize that this God tells us these things through his word, that you can look at certain things. Like you see, nobody cares about theft. Well, that's saying that God's judgment and destruction is going to come upon that land. And we're supposed to look at this and go, okay, so why is God causing these things to happen? What is in the sin nature of man that's not being constrained, that is causing these things to happen, causing these reactions? One of the big problems in the church is people don't think. They don't say that we're supposed to look at these things and reason from them, from God's word, from what we know about God through his word, about human nature, all these things that we're supposed to take and we're supposed to understand the world. And so the reason we talked about the squirrel tonight is we really need to start looking and thinking more deeply about the world that's happening around us. Because it indicates a lot of problems that need to be dealt with, and the church needs to start dealing with them. Thanks for joining us.
This has been The Conquering Truth, a project of Reformation Baptist Church. If you found this helpful, you can visit us online at theconqueringtruth.com and subscribe here or in your favorite podcast app. Thanks for watching.